This is Chris Dyer, director of the museum in Georgetown, and today I will be interviewing Mr. Carl Deering on behalf of the Georgetown Public Library's Oral History Project. The goal of this project is to collect recorded oral histories of members of the Georgetown community who were involved in the community during the desegregation of public schools. These oral histories will be included in the library's permanent collection. Today's date is Friday, January 23, 2009. I am interviewing Mr. Deering at his home in Georgetown at 705 Country Club Road. The time is currently 11:05. And thanks for sitting down with me today. And I guess we will just, I guess, introduce yourself. And could you spell your name?
I am Carl Deering, D-O-E-R-I-N-G.
Okay. And do you go by any nicknames or anything like that? Or
all my life, growing up, I was Brother Deering.
Brother Deering.
I had an older brother, and he called me brother. So everybody in town knew me as Brother Deering.
Brother Deering. Well, that's great. And what is your date of birth?
August the 14th, 1924.
Okay. Well, I guess that...
And I spell Carl with a C.
C, there you go. C-A-R-L. And I'm C-H-R-I-S-D-Y-E-R, a good Irish name. Okay. Well, we'll get started with the questions here. How long have you lived in Williamson County?
I've lived in Georgetown all my life. In fact, I was born about 5 blocks from the courthouse.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Right in Georgetown, so you're a long time native.
Right in Georgetown. And I have been here now for 84 plus years.
84 years, wow. Okay. Well, what neighborhood or what area did you live during the 40s, 50s, and 60s in Georgetown? I'm not real familiar with the different neighborhoods that were in Georgetown.
Well, of course, I was born 5 blocks from the courthouse, and that was southwest, which was about halfway between Austin Avenue and the West Railroad.
Okay.
We had two railroads in town.
Right, right. And was it an ethnically diverse neighborhood, or what was the kind of makeup of the neighborhood?
The West Railroad actually separated the whites and the blacks.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Let's see. Like I mentioned earlier, this is just to kind of get us set up for what I hope you'll let me do a series of interviews with you. Describe your educational background.
I went to a private elementary school at Wahlberg, Zion Lutheran.
Okay, you went to Zion.
And then I went to Concordia, and then I went to Arlington State University.
And what did you major in? What was your focus in Concordia and further on?
Well, my parents wanted me to be a parochial school teacher or a pastor, but I didn't have good enough memory to suit them, so I changed that later on.
I went
to agriculture.
Agriculture.
Yeah.
Great. And this is really I'm taking a couple of notes here. It's really interesting information for future interviews. How did you went through school, and I guess you came back. How were you involved in the community? Did you start out in, I know you were politically involved, but how were you involved through the church? Could you describe that a little bit and how
you? Well, I was involved in many ways. I grew up in Georgetown, and Georgetown back then was rather small. It was in the 4,000 or 5,000 population back when I was a child. And I was involved with the blacks all my life. In fact, I remember a black lady rocking me. Her name was Sally Jefferson. And I called her Aunt Sally. And she requested when she died that she be buried in a white dress. And my mother gave her a white dress when she died, and she was buried in a white dress. And then my father had a cotton gin right next to the railroad track. And there was a black lady by the name of Gertrude City that had a little grocery store across the track. And I remember taking my nickels over there and buying candy. And I remember I either forgot my nickel or I lost my nickel. But anyway, Gertrude gave me a piece of candy anyway.
I'm familiar with some of the cities, Albert, and that's out east. But that's interesting. So you were in, living in that neighborhood. You're really close to the black, right next to the black community, and you mentioned, how were you involved in the church and the community? Were you involved in the church or city council or anything like
that?
Going
back to Joe City, which was Gertrude's husband, he was one of my best friends all my life. His home was right next to my dad's cotton gin.
Okay.
And he made his living with a truck and a tractor with a saw on it. He would cut wood and then sell it during the winter. And then sometimes would take his truck all the way to New Mexico and bring back baled alfalfa hay. And in fact, Joe had me be his executor of his estate when he died. And he had a home and two rent houses. And he deeded all of his property to his church.
Okay.
So I didn't have a whole lot to do. And then I belonged to the Optimist Club. I started Little League baseball in Georgetown, and I had the title of Commissioner of Baseball in Georgetown. I was on the Housing Authority for several years and Vice Chairman for 2 years. And we have a wonderful Housing Authority in Georgetown. It's been there a long time. And then I was on the City Council for 8 years, and I was mayor for 2 years. And then I was chairman of the building committee at Christ Lutheran Church when we built an entirely new church, Sunday school, and gym on Luther Drive, which is off of Leander Road.
So you were definitely very involved in the community, and I assume that you were involved before integration of Georgetown schools even became a possibility or an issue, or you were involved with the community before that. I know that you were on. I was familiar with your city council term, but a lot of people might not realize that. Can you put that in context? How were you involved during the time of integration? What were you, city council? Were you mayor? What were you doing at that time?
During integration?
Yes, sir.
It was in the late 50s, and of course, my tractor business was right next to the track, next to the cotton gin. So I heard a lot of talk every day down there from the blacks. In the 50s, before I was elected to the school board, people would stop by all the time and let me know. I remember a delegation, probably in 1957, from the Carver School going before the school board, and they were wanting a new school. But that school board took no action. And then I recall in a year later, they did the same thing. They went, and there was two or three other members on the board, and they went before the board, but that board took no action. Then in 1960, I recall the school board appointed an advisory committee to study the building's needs in Georgetown. And they discussed new schools, but they didn't take any action. Then in 1962, it was a really difficult time for me. There was a big controversy in Georgetown in 1962, the first part of 1962, about the superintendent and the tax collector. And I was talked into running for the school board. I was 38 years old at the time, and I had kept up with everything that was going on at the schools. There were 8 men on the ballot because it was a controversial deal about the superintendent and the tax collector. I received the most votes, and Dr. Gaddy followed me in the number of votes, and J.D. Thomas came in third, and we three were then elected to the school board. So I served then on the school board as for 6 years, from 1962 to 68, and I was chairman for 5 years out of those 6 years. And we had lots of problems then. We had internal faculty problems, and I recall we had lots and lots of problems with the Spanish children not being able to speak English or understand English. We had finance problems. The faculty and the employees were wanting raises, and the community was pretty well divided. We, as far as integration is concerned, we had actually had 4 different groups of citizens concerning integration. A white group wanting total integration, immediate integration. And then we had the black coach, Charlie Miller, group. They didn't want any integration. And then we had a white group wanting one grade at a time. And then we had a white group, no integration at all. So there was lots of talk and discussion. And finally, a $500,000 bond issue was put to the citizens, and it passed by a 4-to-1 margin to build new schools. 2 identical schools were built. West Side was built on city property. We talked them into giving it to the school. And then North Side was built on a property that was donated by Mr. Parker. And I had a very difficult time in getting him to donate it. Back then, that was nothing but pasture land for livestock, all the way from there to Andes. I had a very, very difficult time convincing the other board members to build gyms with these schools. And I'm very glad I did, because now every school has a gym built with it. And it came in very handy. And then we had a lawsuit against the school, and the court approved one grade at a time. Then the next year they approved two grades. Then they approved the 6th, 11th, and 12th grades. And in 1966, the whole district was integrated. My son called me Tuesday evening after Obama was sworn in as our first black president, and he congratulated me. And I said, "What are you congratulating me about?" And he says, "Well, I remember now that you were chairman of the school board, and there was no violence at all in Georgetown in integrating the schools. And I was the first graduating class from Georgetown in an integrated system." That was Danny.
Oh, Danny. It was Danny.
Danny Wood. And he said, "You handed my diploma and everybody else's diploma."
That's pretty.
And
pretty
I said,
neat.
"Thank you."
Well, that's I hadn't heard about the four groups before, the four different groups, you know, how they felt about desegregation, and how did you fit in with those groups? What was your position at that time in 19? I guess this was 62 to 68, or what was your position? Where did you fall in with one of those four groups, or did you not fall in with any of them at all?
Well, our school attorney was the Honorable William S. Lott. And he kept telling me don't take a position, keep calm, and keep everybody talking, and we won't have any problems. And day after day he told me this, and this is what I did.
It's good to listen to Judge Lott, I always do.
There was a time I don't remember, I guess it must have been in 63 then, when we had a school board meeting set for 7 o'clock. And at 4:30 that afternoon, I had a telephone call from the sheriff's office for me to come down. I went to the sheriff's office, and he introduced me to an FBI man. And the FBI man told me to get in touch with two or three other board members. And when you call the meeting to order, ask one of them to immediately make a motion to adjourn. And this I did, and I had a second, and we adjourned. There was a white group then, 10 or 15 people there. And they became pretty angry. And it wasn't until a couple months ago that I really revealed that the FBI and the sheriff told the school board what to do. And what it was all about, they never did tell me what the problem was going to be, or was, or anything.
Well, the school board doesn't usually get direction from Washington, you know, so that's really a unique event. So you guys, you went ahead and adjourned the meeting right away.
Right away, and we left.
And then were there any incident after that, or just...
No incident. They were just sort of angry what we did.
It's interesting. I want to touch on some of that in later interviews. I'm glad you brought that up. So you mentioned that you didn't really take a side, and you listened to Judge a lot. And what was your role in desegregation, to kind of go into a little more detail on some of the activities that you really participated in? I know you're in the school board, but can you describe that a little bit, how you kind of facilitated each of those groups? You had four groups, and you know, I'm sure they came up often to speak to you. How did you deal with all of that, if that makes any sense?
Well, I was in the tractor business, and they would come by and let me know how they felt, and I listened, just like Judge a lot told me to.
So you had a lot of people through your office quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Is there any one instance that sticks out when somebody came in and talked to you that really stuck in your mind? Did you have a visit from somebody that you just is really memorable to you, and you just, you know, when you were at the tractor business, one of these groups coming in? You don't have to name any names or anything, but was there any one occasion, a heated meeting, or somebody who was mad, or somebody who was excited, or anything like that? Or,
well, I suppose there was, but just right now, I don't recall.
We have to think about that, and I'll get back with you on that, because it was only 40 years ago, like we mentioned earlier. So.
I do want to mention that positive results of integration, it was really, well, I want to talk about the football game of my son Steve. That particular year, we had two blacks playing on the football team, and they were running backs, and Round Rock had a real good team that was supposed to win state in our division. But anyway, our coach found out that he was telling his players not to watch out for Steve Deering, because all he does is passes the ball. And So that particular night, our coach let Steve call his own plays. And when the two running backs would move out, that's when he would run. The Round Rock backfield defense would move out on those two blacks, and he scored three running touchdowns that night. And Georgetown beat Round Rock 21-0. But then when they got back from the football game, and before they got off the bus, Ernie Miller and Ronnie, I can't think of his name right now, but anyway, one of them got up and told everybody, wait just a minute. He said, Ronnie and Ernie Miller just voted Steve Deering an honorary Negro because he can run as good as we can.
And these are the two, it was Ernie and Ronnie Miller that were the two black players on the football team at that time. Was that their...
There's Ernie Miller and Ronnie. I can't think of his name right now.
Well, we'll think of it in the future, and that's good. You have a pretty good memory, though. And what about was the Round Rock team that you guys were playing, were they integrated at that time as well, or was it an all white team, or was it?
It was an all white team.
Okay, that, you know, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to mention about that, or do you want to... Do you have any more? I guess we were talking about positive results of integration. Did you see any more, or did you see any negative results, or did you have any feelings about that either way? Or?
Well, some of the negative results were that teachers lost their jobs. And children did not have support from the family members to study and learn. That was a real problem. And I guess it's still a problem today. And children then had further to walk to school. But as far as the community then came together, and Bertie Shacklin and Paulette Taylor are two people to be commended for their community work.
And you mentioned, so a lot of the, you said lost teachers lost their jobs. Was it Anglo teachers, or was it black teachers, or both, or who?
It was mostly black, but a few whites did too.
Okay, and why did they lose their jobs? Because they're just, since they...
Well, the classes became larger and didn't have to be duplicated.
There's more in a class, you needed less teachers.
Right.
And who, how did they determine who lost their job and who didn't?
That was the principal's
decision. Principal's decision.
Superintendent's job.
Okay. I'm learning as I go along. This is interesting. Is there any more you want to speak on negative, positive results of desegregation, anything that, because you, at that time you had a kid in school as well, and was there anything, you know, anything else that you had on that?
Well, we had, actually we had four children in school.
Four children in school.
Right. And, of course, we were concerned about our children and everybody's children getting a good education.
Okay. Let's see. What were the opinions of your friends, your family, your neighbors concerning desegregation? I know it was very divided, but did in your neighborhood, did you have any... I mean, what was their view, or was it not a cohesive view? Did every house you go to, was it a little different, or?
Well, where we lived on South Main, 2001 South Main at the time, and our whole neighborhood didn't talk about it. I had no problems one way or the other with our neighborhood.
Did we've seen through the desegregation that churches were they had a very forward role in this. What was the opinion of your church on desegregation? Because a lot of them were very pro desegregation. I'm sure there were a few that weren't. But what was what church did you attend at that time? I think you mentioned it, but what church?
Christ Lutheran,
and what was their?
They were not involved in any way.
Not involved in any way.
In fact, churches are really barred from participating in politics.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Okay. Because you were on the school board and you're very involved with all of this, and you were a listener, and you're a decision maker as well, did you experience any negative consequences personally? I mean, you had a business, you know, you're involved in the community, and you know, there's four groups. You're going to make a decision that's going to upset somebody. Did you experience any negative consequences at your business through your stance? Well, you didn't really have it. You said you didn't take a formal stance, but because of the school board's decision, did you experience any negative consequences from anybody in the community or any impact on your business? Because that happened historically in some places.
No, I didn't. Evidently, everything was all right because I was elected to the council for 8 years and then mayor for 2 years.
As I was about to say, so did you notice anybody who did have negative consequences? Any businesses or anything in town that did suffer because of integration?
I don't think they did.
Okay. Well, this kind of covers what I wanted to, you know, basically the basics I wanted to hit, but is there anything that you want to add? We do have some more time, and I'd be happy to hear anything you want to add or that I missed or...
I think we've pretty well covered everything.
Okay, well, great. Well, the time is now
25 to 12.
25 till 12, and I appreciate you taking the time to interview with me, and hopefully we'll get to do some more in the near future.